Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. We're talking about a very important issue today, and I think that it concerns all of us, and especially Hispanics and blacks, I guess. But we're going to find out. We're talking about Proposition 187, and we have some men who are here, and I hope that they're men, that are talking about 187. We have Gregory Grant, Dennis Shackman from the L.A. Sentinel, and Kevin Ross. He is the deputy district county attorney. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Can you welcome my guests? We're going to start with Kevin first. Did you vote for 187 or against?
I voted for it.
You voted for it?
No, I'm sorry. I voted against it.
You voted against it?
I voted against it.
Okay, tell us what is 187.
What is 187?
Proposition 187. What is it?
Well, Proposition 187 really deals with the services that the state gives to what's considered illegal immigrants. And the main areas that were at issue were health services, educational services, and the whole issue of any felony and misdemeanor charges for falsifying documentation. There was different penalties, and that was basically the substance of it in terms of who was going to pay for these non-emergency health services, who was going to pay for these emergency, education services. And many individuals in the state felt as though illegal immigrants were putting such a drain on the state's resources that we could no longer afford to pay for them.
Yeah. And you wrote an article just before election urging people to vote for it. Is that right?
No, what I did, I wrote an article in the L.A. Times that dealt with this whole dynamic of the tension between African-Americans and the Latino community. Right. And what I was basically saying in the article was I do a talk show here. Well, I was doing a talk show at the time. And in talking with the community, people were saying that they were planning on voting for it because they felt as though the Latino community was disrespecting the struggle of African Americans in various areas, in education, in the entertainment industry, with jobs. And they felt as though they were not going to support a Latino issue. And so my position was, because I was voting against it, to let the Latino community know that unless they address this issue, this dynamic, they were not going to get the support of the African-American community.
And are we talking about illegal aliens, right? We are talking about illegal. It only affects illegal, right?
Right.
Right. And why would you vote for that?
Well,
I mean, against that?
I actually was torn at first. As a prosecutor, I felt as though, you know, whether the person's white, black, Hispanic, Asian, if someone breaks the law, it's my job as a prosecutor to make sure that the law is carried out.
Right.
So that really initially made me want to vote for 187. But when I started looking at the actual ramifications of what it meant, and having a law school background, looking at the laws that existed and seeing how much money and resources would be spent into challenging it from a legal standpoint, I felt as though those resources could be better used elsewhere, as well as looking at the fact that a lot of it dealt with what was going on in the schools, and I didn't think it was fair to really punish these kids, because so many times I see kids, especially when I was prosecuting juveniles, who didn't want to go to school. So here you have these kids begging to stay in school, and for me, dealing with my emotions, I didn't feel comfortable saying I want these kids out of school.
But the whole issue is we're dealing with people who are here illegally, who are breaking law, and to me it seemed as though you rationalized that aspect away, didn't you?
Well, no, I mean, what I was looking at is that I was looking at this next generation of children. And the fact of the matter is you had these individuals who were begging to stay in school. And the fact of the matter is they weren't going to go anywhere. And one of the biggest problems that I saw in prosecuting juveniles for 2 years was that when kids aren't in school, they will find something to do. And the alternative to me, they weren't going to go into private school. And they weren't going to be able to work, so where were they going to go? And that concerned me as someone in law enforcement.
But I still can't get away from the issue of you being a lawyer, mm-hmm. and knowing that someone is breaking the law you would vote against the law. I just can't. You know, being a lawyer seemed like it would seem to me that that's all you know is to make sure the law is carried out in the proper fashion.
Well, you know, part of my issue was as an African American looking at the similarities between our struggle and our history here in this country. And even though I don't compare, I mean, our situation in the legal immigrants is totally different.
That's right.
Totally. One of the issues that I knew that the state was looking at in 1996 was that they were looking at ending welfare. And so what a lot of, I know a lot of African Americans rely on that as a source of helping them sustain themselves. And I knew it was just a question of time before, right now it's a Latino issue, the next minute it's a black issue, and a perfect example is what we're seeing right now in Washington with them trying to cut off funds for the Congressional Black Caucus.
Hallelujah.
So I just saw the pattern there.
Is it about time? I'm so sick of the Black Caucus, I don't know what to do. I hope this destroys them.
Well, it's not even just the Black Caucus. You've got the Women's Caucus, you've got the Hispanic Caucus.
All that garbage, man.
Well, see, for me, and having just gone to the Congressional Black Caucus a few months ago, I saw that it was something that was definitely needed, and I support it.
Okay. You want to say something to him?
Yes. How in the world could you be a lawyer and then vote against this, and these border jumpers is breaking the law, and then you gonna say that you got some kind of sympathy for them? I don't care if you don't care enough about your kids and yourself to jump the border and break the law. Well, you and your babies both be sold right back across that border. That ain't got nothing to do with how is 187 got anything to do with blacks? You don't, but blacks don't need no welfare, no how. Because if they get up and go to work and start creating something instead of creating babies, they wouldn't need no welfare. But people like...
How could
you say that you was against it? And for them cutting money off, you're talking about they ain't supposed to get no money. That's my money that they are giving them illegal.
You're right. And my issue was that I felt as though there should be something done about illegal immigration. I just didn't think that was the best way to solve it. Because if you look at it right now, it hasn't been implemented. It's not going to be implemented for another year or two. And all we're doing is spending money on attorneys and spending money on courts. And that money is also your tax money. Right. And instead of that money spending it on fighting this out, that money could go towards education reform.
How about shipping them back home? That money can go to shipping them back.
But they're not doing that right now. And we can talk about what is and what isn't. The fact of the matter is there are injunctions filed in the district court. All it's going to do is generate paper. And I was looking at this because I do have a legal background, and I knew that the laws on the books said that this would be unconstitutional.
I'm going to ask you about that later.
I just had a comment for...
You voted for it, Gas Gray.
I was for it. You know, and I'm going to state for our first speaker here. You know, it's ironic that the will of the people, which is obviously by vote what we could just about call a mandate,
right,
would be the will of the people to have this law... or some similar law implemented. It really is quite contradictory for you, based on a personal opinion, and to override the will of the people in implementing these laws. I think the drafters of this particular law knew that it would be court challenges. I mean, it's pretty obvious from the language contained therein. But we must not negate the will of the people. And whether we agree on a personal basis or not, we have to implement what the people want.
But see, if that was the case, we would have never integrated a lot of the issues that dealt with the blacks in the civil rights movement. The will of the people at that time, the bulk of the people, white America, was not really with our agenda. And we had to challenge.
But two wrongs don't make a right, though. Hold on a minute. Two wrongs doesn't make a right.
Well,
so
no,
just because white people done something wrong in the past, you're going to do wrong now?
No, what I'm saying is a lot of times you have to look. Now, personally, the laws that are on the books right now say that this type of law is unconstitutional. So if we really are going to look at the will of the people, we need to make an amendment to pre-existing law. And so right now you've got this amendment that's in conflict with established law. So all I'm saying is, as a lawyer, even though you may have this mandate from society, it's inconsistent with the laws that are on the books right now. Now, either we're going to change those laws, or we're going to have to accept the fact that what we now have is 187 is inconsistent with what we have in the book.
Did you vote for or against? Well, first, let me just say this. First of all, Prop 187 is unconstitutional. It's disgusting. It's racist. It creates a deeper crime issue, a greater health issue, and I voted for it.
You voted for it?
Yes. Now, let me explain why I did that.
Please.
I was eloquently persuaded to vote my way after reading Brother Ross's very well-done article. I wish I had written it myself. I'm jealous. But see, you know, we're missing the whole boat here. See, these are political decisions that are made in Sacramento to come up with Prop 187. Prop 187, first of all, is not going to do anything to keep people from getting to the United States. People have been trying to get here for the last 400 years. All of a sudden, they're looking at these Latinos and thinking that they're illegal.
They are illegal.
No, they're undocumented.
They're not thinking that.
They are undocumented.
No, they are
illegal. If you move here as you did from Alabama and didn't get your plates changed, you're going to get a ticket. Are you a criminal?
I got my plates changed so I can abide by the law.
Okay, now let me make my point.
Let me make my point.
Everybody else talk. I'm going to make my point. Okay. The point is that I voted for it not to get back at Latinos who you consider illegal, but they're undocumented. I voted that way because I wanted to get back and send a message to Latino leaders who have turned their backs the other way when black people needed their help in coalitions. When Rodney King got beat to a pulp, you know, and we talked about police brutality, we said, Latino leaders, help us. Okay? No comprende. Okay? When they tried to take over the King Drew Hospital, me no speaking English. Okay? Terso Del Junco says, there's too many black folks working in the post office. My daddy worked there 40 years and put me through school. Me no understand English. Okay? Now they want our help. I said, nah, take a long walk off a short pier. Because it's going to be considered unconstitutional when it goes to court. So I voted yes to send a message to Latino leaders.
Amazing.
You know, like Javier Hermosillo, who says he's going to take over.
But Dennis, you had a lot of blacks who voted in favor of 187, and it wasn't to get back at the Mexicans.
Well, there's a lot of them that did.
But many
of Mexican
didn't.
Leaders. That's why I did.
And you know what swayed a lot of people to vote for it? When there was that demonstration and all you saw was a sea of red, green, and black flags. People want to see those American flags. And I know for a lot of people, they were actually going to vote against it. But when they saw the Mexican flags being waved, for a lot of folks, they said, you know what? They're so proud of Mexico, let them go back. And so there's so many different dynamics as to why people voted for it. But the bottom line is it really is about jobs. Because if everyone has jobs, you don't care who's here.
I know many blacks who voted for it because the Mexicans were taking their jobs for
little pay. For example,
construction jobs, painting, you know, domestic work. The Mexicans were taking it, and people are paying under the table, and it's causing a lot of hardship in the black community. So a lot of blacks were angry about that.
So actually, it was white people taking the jobs, just giving them to Mexicans.
No, the blacks were the Mexicans
who's
were
paying
taking
who under the table. It's the white boy, right?
That's not the issue. The point is,
that's why many blacks
I've heard from voted for 187.
How do you explain black restaurant owners, for example, who you'll go into their stores, their restaurants, and you'll see a sea of Latino workers, but you won't see African American workers? How do you respond to them?
You said black ownership,
right, yeah.
Because blacks don't trust one another. If I were to for the most part, when you hire blacks to work for you in that capacity, they don't do a good job. And so a lot of blacks don't trust it, and a Mexican would do a better job than the average black.
I think a lot of it has to do with you can pay them less. Because they can come from Mexico where they made 50 cents an hour and make $5 an hour, and they think they've
Well, that's the point
advantage.
I just made it. You said it wasn't true.
It has nothing to do with trust. It has to do with economics.
Yes.
In theory, I was in favor of 187, the idea to keep illegals out, to not provide health care services and educational services and that type of thing. But I voted against it because I didn't think it was well written, and I didn't think it would be effective. I thought that if you deprive illegal aliens of health care services and they have tuberculosis or pneumonia or whatever, they're going to be coughing on us on the buses and every place else. So I didn't think that it would be effective. I think that
What should we do about them?
I think that the only thing that we can do about illegal aliens is to align ourselves some way with the economy of Mexico and establish to build up the economy of Mexico. There is no other way. As long as our economy is superior to theirs, as long as they can make better money. Because if you kick people out of school, if you don't provide health care services, this country still has more opportunity than Mexico. So they're still going to come across the border. We think that if we cut off health care services or if we cut off educational services, that's they're going to say, oh, well, I guess we'll stay in Mexico. No, they're not going to say that because the conditions are so dire down there. They're still going to come across the border. They're still going to be here.
But it will be
illegal. This is still the land of milk and honey to many people, and nothing's going to stop them from coming here. How many Canadians are coming across the border? They're not going to throw them out, okay? Because most of them are white.
It would be illegal for doctors and teachers and whoever to take them in now. They would be punished by law.
The reality is, if there is an illegal person in my presence, I'm a school teacher, the reality is if there is a student there that's sick and can't get treated, I'm going to get coughed on. I'm going to get sick because I don't know what kind of diseases they have. That's the reality. The reality is people are coming and they're going to continue coming by night across that border. That is the reality.
Let's take a break and we'll come back. And Grant, you want to make a point. When we come back, we'll take the point. Back in a moment.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, we're back. We're talking about Proposition 187. And, Greg, you wanted to make a point or ask a question or something?
Yeah, I'm just, listening to one of the two distinguished panelists here to my right.
You're distinguished.
I just wanted to know why is it, and some of the audience members as well, why are we only concentrating on the Hispanic population? You alluded on it earlier. There are other people who immigrate here, hundreds of thousands of Europeans, Africans, Jewish people, Canadians. Why are we only concentrating on the Hispanic population?
Because this was a Republican issue, and Republicans are past masters at using race and other sorts of hot-button issues to get white males to come out to vote. This was a good issue for Pete Wilson to get rid of, to just ignore all the other issues and concentrate on this brown guy who's going to take a job, from someone. That was the reason why they.
Okay, that's your position. That's your position.
That's
but
a fact.
Okay, well, that's a fact from your perspective. But what I'm asking you then with that response is why is it that that's all that you're addressing? You haven't said anything about Pete Wilson, about these other dynamics that are going on. We seem to be getting back to the Hispanic population, and they're taking jobs, and they're doing this. Why is that your only position?
Well, it's not my only position. This is our show. Okay, we can go for days and weeks on this. Let's just look at the economic issue. Let's just say that 187 is implemented. Now, you have 650,000 students in the LAUSD. Okay, you start taking out undocumented aliens, that takes out about, 200,000 students? Now, the school district.
I don't know where you get your statistics. You have some pretty large numbers.
Well, they're large. This is the second largest school district.
Maybe when the show is over, you can give me some reference.
Anyway, we'll come up to the Sentinel. We got on.
Okay.
You take 200,000 students out and send them across the border. That means that the LAUSD will lose, 50, 60, 70 million dollars. That means jobs, teachers are going to get laid off. Mm-hmm. Schools will close. Where will those schools close? Right down here on Adams. That school will close. The schools will close around here because they will bus the kids from here out to the valley to keep those schools open. So these things affect us. Not only does it affect the Latinos, mm-hmm. it affects black people. There's money involved here.
Dennis,
okay?
Is that a reason to break the law?
Break the law?
Uh-huh. They are here illegal.
No, they're undocumented.
What does that mean?
That means that they're not citizens.
And how did they get here?
Same way everybody else gets here.
No, they didn't.
Okay. Are the people who represent...
Dennis, they didn't get here the same
way. You say they...
They got here.
But who, when you say they...
We're talking about the Mexicans, the illegal
187.
So you're bringing it back to the Hispanic.
There's nothing in 187 that says...
This law applies to everybody.
Okay, but you see, we keep getting back to Hispanics.
Does that law apply to everyone that's here illegally?
Yes, from my understanding, it is.
No, so that would apply to everyone.
That would be whites or blacks or Hispanics.
Exactly.
Is that right, Kevin?
That's true.
Okay, so what's the problem then?
Well, see, I think going back to what Dennis was saying, Pete Wilson used this as an opportunity. He was, you know, point wise, he was starting to lose his lead. He said, "This is a good issue to take and run with it," and I resented that whole issue of even his commercials. You didn't see Canadians, you didn't see Asians. His commercials, he was very shrewd to depict Latinos running across the border. And as the other guest pointed out, it really transcends race or any one ethnic group.
Are you Republican or Democrat?
I'm a Democrat.
Democrat. So could you resent that because you knew that he would probably win if he took on that issue?
No, you know what I resented about it?
Anybody that was running for office would have taken it on if they thought that they could use it to win. So I don't see anything wrong with that.
Well, no,
it was his issue.
I think for me, I took offense with it because I felt like here was just another example of the races being played against one another.
How is that racist?
The
reason why I felt that it was racist is because if you look at the makeup of the Republican Party, and if you look at their...
What is the makeup?
Well, it's disproportionately white.
But there are many black
in Sacramento.
I said it's disproportionately black Republican white.
In Sacramento.
And you have a high percentage of males that are with that party.
And you don't like white males?
I don't have a problem with white males.
What do you mean by that?
I'm saying that whatever pushes your button, just like if I'm a candidate and I know that there's an issue that concerns women, I'm going to cater to that issue.
So what's wrong with Pete doing it then?
He won?
Well, that doesn't mean it's right.
It worked for him.
Just because I use it doesn't mean it's right.
But see, I think you're wrong about him just picking it up now. We have been dealing with that issue for a long time.
But see, he hasn't been dealing with it. No, that's incorrect.
No politician was dealing with it for a long period of time. But people who want something to be done about it won't go away.
But see, Pete's already had 4 years. So what has he done within this 4 years to even deal with this?
He supported their rights when he was in the Senate.
When he was the mayor of San Diego.
Isn't that right?
So again,
in my church.
It's being played.
Isn't that right?
It's being played as a means of pitting us against one another when it's really about the economic aspect. Because the bottom line is, if you've got jobs in California, you don't care who's here. And the fact of the matter is, you didn't care 20 years ago.
I do not want the Mexicans here, blacks or white, here illegally. And I have to work very hard, and I'm paying for these people to be here.
They're breaking the law. All I'm saying is, it's not an issue.
Let me just finish. I have to abide by the law.
Right.
I mean, my wife can't even go down to the county hospital to have a baby if I should not be able to work for whatever reason, because they land out on
see,
the floor having a baby,
but
see, we can't even get in there.
But do you realize that that's an economic issue? Because if you're working, that's not even something that goes into your mind.
It
you
is.
Don't even think about
it. Every time I look at my paycheck, it goes through my mind.
You don't think about the county.
Damn, I'm paying for these Mexicans again.
Okay, like with me, I have health benefits. So working as a district attorney, I go to Kaiser. So I'm not standing in a line at the county. Now, if I'm unemployed because of the economic aspect, well, then I got a problem with waiting in line for 50 people behind me.
Kevin,
so it's the economic thing.
I just can't understand. Can I rephrase,
ask both of you gentlemen? Okay, let's say that we all disagree with 187. Mm-hmm. And just, I know it's a short period of time, but what would your suggestion be to resolve these issues? I mean, you do see that it is a problem.
It's a major problem.
That, and I'm not identifying any particular race, but that we have people here who are undocumented or illegal, whatever reference you want to use, mm-hmm. who are utilizing public services, who are breaking the law in essence. What would you state that we do? What position would you take to rectify these problems?
Well, good question.
Augustus Hawkins had a plan about 20 years ago.
No, we're here now. We're here in 1994.
Full employment.
Hey,
if everybody was working,
make it
we
short.
Would have this problem. And your job wouldn't be so hard. Now, you talk about
We need a good answer here, too, because we're coming to the end of the program. What do you suggest, Dennis, real quick?
What I suggest is increase more security on the borders.
That's a good suggestion.
My suggestion would be go after the employers more, and from a prosecutorial standpoint, hold them liable criminally for the employment of individuals who are undocumented.
Mm-hmm. But won't this law do that?
No.
I mean,
there's already laws, but see, for the most part, that's considered white-collar crime.
And we just need make to, his job harder.
And we need to look at dealing with... We need to look at dealing with that as a serious issue, and we haven't up to this point.
Interesting.
But see, I still haven't received an answer for
this
question.
You're not going to get one.
And I don't think that you gentlemen are going to be able to provide an answer, because if you went after the employer, it would still be the same effect.
Well, what is your,
it would
what
still
is
be
solution?
The same effect.
You know, you're in law enforcement, right?
Well, you asked me what my solution. I would say that we adhere to whatever laws the people have mandated. And that's what my original premise was, that whatever it is, whatever our personal opinions are,
but
we
got,
have to put
but
them aside.
But you've got two laws that are inconsistent.
Yeah.
You've got laws in the books that say this is illegal.
And that was the second part of my statement.
So what do you do? Do you make an amendment?
Well, no, that was the second part of my statement. In fact, I mentioned earlier that it was a poorly constructed law from the
right.
beginning, which mm-hmm. we all can agree. So, yes, in order to correct those deficiencies, there would have to be an amendment. So
right.
I would be in favor of that. But the way that it sits now, if we just look at the situation open-mindedly and not identify any particular race, mm-hmm. we have a problem.
I think we can all agree.
That's just what they said when they had the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. We have a problem. They were spelled N-I-G-G-E-R-S then.
Yeah, but see, you go back to that, but just think about the fact that you have three African-Americans sitting here. We have an African-American host would tell you.
And he's doing a fine job.
You know what? This program is over right now, but we're going to do another part two to it. And when we come back, I want to answer some of those questions and take questions from the audience. I'll see you next week. Tell a friend and a neighbor about it.
You got to pay me for overtime, bro.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what's been wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find.
Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Last week, we talked about Proposition 187, and today we're doing a Part 2 series. Next Monday, a Part 3, and next week, Part 4. So, and we're wearing the same thing because we cannot afford anything else. Welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. Joining us now is Jim Farino, and he's with LULAC. And what is LULAC?
League of United Latin American Citizens. It's the oldest Latino civil rights organization in the country, founded in 1929 in Texas, and got councils throughout the country in Puerto Rico and
Really?
So on.
Why did they start LULAC? Why was it founded? What
well, if you, my grandfather was in LULAC in the 20s and 30s. It was founded essentially as a civil rights organization to fight the segregation in the state of Texas and the discrimination and also the lynchings that were going on at the time. And from there, it branched out into other different states, and today it's again engaging in efforts for voter registration, to break gerrymandered districts, at-large voting districts, and essentially any type of discrimination or past segregation efforts that affect Latinos throughout the United States.
Before I ask you about 187, I want to ask this. Do you think that the Hispanic problems and black problems are similar or the same?
There's some that dovetail and coincide and some that are different. But I think if you look back at the history of this country, particularly that coming from the government and so on, there are more problems that probably affect minorities in this country and women in general than there are differences probably. And even though there are some differences over particular issues, there are many issues which do dovetail as far as defending affirmative action and a lot of other issues that the growing discrimination that's taking place, the growing unemployment, the problems in our neighborhoods, particularly that affect our youth, the gang violence that's going on, the lack of recreation, lack of funding for schools, and so on and so forth. So there are many issues that do dovetail. There are obviously some differences. There are always going to be some differences between different ethnic groups. But I think having grown up in this city, I have seen more issues that bring us together since the late 40s in the city than issues that have divided us. Unfortunately, since Rodney King and so on, we've seen a city that's becoming more polarized. Yeah. We've seen a lot of the corporate America pulling all their factories out here, jobs diminishing. You're beginning to see a lot of groups beginning to fight like the chickens over the little pieces of corn, right, within the city over housing and resources and so on. People are getting frustrated, getting angry, they're looking for scapegoats.
Really. And one other question about that. Do you think that whites or against Hispanics, the way that blacks think whites are against them?
To rephrase that again?
Do you think that white people are trying to hold the Hispanic community down?
I see in this country that we still have white supremacy, was founded in white supremacy. And if you look at the highest echelons of government in the Congress, you could count the number of minorities that are still there, the number of women. In corporate America, the top echelons are still white male. If you look in the universities and the military, it's still white male. So even though we've had supposedly affirmative action that was supposed to resolve these, you still have this glass ceiling. You still have this gluing group on top. They have not given it up, and they're trying to hold their privileges. And anywhere you go, people are going to hold on to their privileges. They're going to fight to hold them on, and they're going to keep those at the bottom fighting with each other to keep on to those privileges. So I don't think they're saying, let's keep this one particular group down. But just as they did in 1988, they used a race card like they did with Willie Horton, right? To win the election, they're going to use whatever dirty, low-down tactics they can for Willie Horton to 187 to try to keep people divided, keep themselves in power. It's that simple.
But
that's how power works, right?
All politicians take on that action in order to win.
Of course they do that.
So it's not necessarily a black and white thing. It's whomever is running for office, right?
But you say it's not necessarily a black and white thing, but it happens to be white males that are running this country, corporate America, the universities, the military, and the federal government. So in that aspect, it is a white thing. But the thing is, these politicians will use any means they can to stay in power and to keep those lobbyists and their money coming in, their campaign funds coming in. And this is exactly why 187 was used. It's not going to resolve anything. It's simply an attack on children, infants, and pregnant women. So as of this, it resolves nothing. If we want to solve an immigration problem, this is simply an opportunist ploy to win votes November the 8th.
Who would you like to see to run the country? And you say white males are running it. Who
would
like you like
I'd like to see real democracy take place where people vote without someone like a Huffington or Feinstein donating $40 million of their own money to win the race and buy the race. I don't want to see lobbyists there bribing these politicians. If you go down to City Hall, you see them there like flies, right? The developers and everybody else, they're the ones who run this city, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I'd like to eliminate. This is what the type of reform we'd like to have, where we have your vote really counts instead of having it bought off by somebody else, right?
Proposition 187, did you vote for it or against it?
Obviously, LULAC. I voted against it.
LULAC. And why?
Why? Because I think, one, let's start off legally. It's against the U.S. Constitution. It's unconstitutional right from the get-go. The people that wrote this are either dumb or they don't know how to write initiatives. Because we knew that from the get-go, it's unconstitutional. In 1982, the Supreme Court ruled it's unconstitutional. They said it's against the 14th Amendment, cruel and unusual punishment to attack and punish children for anything, any wrongdoing the parents might have done. It's against the California State Constitution, which states that children have the right to an education, secondly, right? Thirdly, politically, it was done and funded through, again, Harold Ezell, who himself is a political consultant, an opportunist consultant. He gets $10,000 to $20,000 to fix a green card for foreign businessmen to get them right into this country, right? Secondly, Alan Nelson, another one of the authors. Let me finish. Another one of the authors, Alan Nelson, who works and receives money from the Pioneer Fund, which is a white supremacist organization based out of New York, who also funds Professor Shockley, who does research to prove that black people are inferior genetically, right? This is a type of birds of a feather.
I kind of funded this thing.
Pardon?
If I was
thirdly,
white,
let me just put a dot there.
I got to put a dot there. Okay. I've been wanting to say this. I can understand why white people would think that blacks are inferior. I mean, if you have a group of people, generation after generation, women and whining and begging in a country where you can do what you want and succeed at what you want if you really want to, I would eventually think something's wrong with their minds.
Wait, when somebody's doing research, they're trying to prove someone's brain is smaller, right? Or something's wrong with your DNA or genetics. I don't buy that, right? All human beings are born with the same potential, right?
Why don't they act that way then?
Okay, but I'm saying...
Why don't blacks act that way?
I'm saying, everyone had the same equal opportunity in this country, they would act a certain way. And our environment prevents certain people. If I'm born with a silver spoon, I'd probably be somewhere else right now, except where I'm here now, right? I wouldn't have grown up in Lincoln Heights down
there. You don't need a silver spoon.
Okay.
You could not become a real man if you had a silver spoon.
But Jesse, you're taking off from the tangent. We're talking about Shockley that's doing research to prove somebody's genetic inferior.
You keep saying these things that popping these questions in my mind.
I'm just saying, these are the people that support 187. These type of people, these are old Hitler and old Nazi racist theories from the 1880s to prove someone is genetically inferior. Their brains are smaller. These are the people funding this now.
But how about the blacks who voted for that bill? In favor?
I'm not saying there's a lot of people that voted
for it. But
there's
a lot of blacks who voted for it.
No one is throwing a big brush and saying everybody are racist. We're talking about 60% of the voters came out. 59% of those voted in favor, which comes down to 35% of the electorate. That is not a mandate. A lot of people are angry and frustrated. They have this false weird illusion they're going to send a message to Washington, D.C., and Washington, D.C. could care less. That is
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, let me ask you one question. Okay. But, Jim, you said white people did it because of racism. Blacks did it because they were frustrated. Why couldn't it be that whites are frustrated, too?
I'm saying a lot of people are frustrated.
So why you say one was racism and the other was frustration?
I'm saying the authors and those who moved 187, who wrote it, who funded it, the main movers behind it, come from this Pioneer Fund, from the organization FAIR, which is a right-wing organization. Doesn't want any immigrants in this country, legal, illegal, whatever. These are the authors behind it. Now, they're out there playing on the frustrations and anger of the electorate against government. People are angry against government. People are angry because the jobs are diminishing and because the prices are going up. They see the schools decaying. They don't see health care. And they're playing on this. They use that anger and tap it to win votes in November. And that's exactly what these consultants do. They could care less what happens after November 8th. They got their money and they ran. That's that simple.
What do you want to say, Greg?
I just had a question, and it's really be the same question I posed last week in our during the course of the show. Based on all the information that you have, you really sound very knowledgeable, and I can really appreciate that. What would you suggest that we do? And again, as I stated earlier, we keep going back to Hispanics, and that is, and I don't mean that. You know, it could be anybody.
I heard the comments.
Right, it could be anyone.
That's a good point here.
So, what would you suggest that we do?
One, let's look at that the election ploy again. It showed Latinos, right, running along highways and so on. And these were racist commercials outright. There's nothing about it. The third highest amount of illegals, if you want to use that word, undocumented, are Canadians. They come right across that border anytime they want. In fact, they just passed a law a month ago. They pay $25. They can cross anytime they want. They never go back. Again, the third highest amount of so-called illegals undocumented are Irish, right? They blend right in New York, into San Francisco, and so on. You don't see Canadians jumping from Windsor to Canada across the border, right? Or you don't see Jamaicans, you know, coming across whatever, you're showing these commercials or anything else, right? You do not see the Irish being blamed or the Canadians or anyone else. Now, when this 187 says someone should be kicked out of the public schools based on reasonable suspicion, now who do you think they're going to have reasonable suspicion for? Is it going to be the Canadian or the Irish? Anybody else going to be somebody that looks brown is Latino? Let's be outright. Let's be, you know, realistic about this. That's who they're aiming at. Now, again, there's not a lot of anger here about Canadians or Irish. So if you want to win votes on crime and using so-called illegals, you're going to put brown faces in those commercials. It's that simple. It worked, right? They won.
Sure.
But 90% of all the illegals coming across, I mean, Canadians may be second, but it's a far second. 90%, 95% of all the illegals coming across are coming from Mexico, are coming from South America. We're being flooded with them. And if we don't stop the flood, will just simply be overrun, and a lot of them have told
who's we are going to be overrun?
The United States of America,
Latinos,
my country, you know, the United States of America,
your country, huh?
Yes,
founded by Columbus, right?
Yeah. I mean, he found it. He got the credit for it. But anyway, if we don't vote yes for 187 and we don't take control of our border in our own country, we might as well just send a check to everybody in South America and everybody in Mexico. We might as well send a check to everybody in Vietnam. We might as well send a check to everybody downtrodden in China.
If you saw we might as well send a check to everybody in Africa.
I mean, where is it going to stop if we don't protect our own borders and say, look, we could take in some people. We can take in some people from here, some people from here. But if we don't take control of our own country, who's going to take control?
Let's try to use logic here, my friend. Let's try to use logic. If we kick Latino kids out of school, okay, and they have nothing else to do, and they want to get rambunctious, whose house they going to bring in?
You send them back across the border and let Mexico take care
of
them.
And on their way, when they take your stereo,
you
then we got
Mexico,
a crime problem.
You send them back across the border, you send Canadians back across the border, you let Canada, which is socialist, that's why they're all coming over here, because they ruined their own economy. Now they want to come over here.
Well, wait a minute. Let's not go that far. Yeah. But, you know, I think we're dealing with two separate issues here, okay? Because you gentlemen are hitting the nail right on the head with a campaign ploy. Some people are using this to keep their interests and to keep their special interests and their money flowing. But we keep coming back to this Hispanic thing.
That's right.
And that's the side of it that I don't agree with. You know what I mean? I agree that they were plastered and put on, but we know that it's far larger than that. Yeah. Now, if we look at Texas or we look at any of the states that border Mexico, maybe that would be the issue. I don't know. Yeah. But if we look at the United States in its totality, it would be an influx from all nations, from all.
But there's
from
no Cuban, there's no Cuban issue in Florida.
I think the reason that they're doing that.
No, there is.
Let's look at our immigration policy. Let's look at it. One, you're wrong. So first of all, your numbers are wrong because.
No way.
What is he wrong?
Wait a minute.
Right.
Wait a minute. Your eyes wear glasses. No, that's
see, don't,
why.
Don't get started with wrong. The eyes.
Secondly,
okay, hold on, guys. One at a time.
The second largest amount of group that comes in here without papers are Filipinos. Third largest are Irish. The fifth is Canadians, and you get into Jews from Israel, from East Europe, and so on. Now, if we're talking about let's get rid of everybody, right, doesn't have papers, let's go around and start scooping everybody up in New York and Miami and every place else. But first of all, let's look at our immigration policy. It is not just. It is not fair. Every thug and dictator and millionaire in any part of the country could come right in here if they buy their way in. I was in Hong Kong 5 years ago. They got signs that says buy property in Monterey Park. I told the bus driver, how come you're not going to Monterey Park? He says, you got $300,000, you zoom right through immigration, right? He says, I'm not going anywhere, I'm poor. Wait a minute. He just mentioned Florida. You have Haitians come, they're kicked out. You go from Cuba, welcome, right? Freedom fighters and so on and so forth, right? That is not valid. So any if you're talking about someone like Iranians coming here or Vietnamese or Ethiopians or anybody else, then we should tell the U.S. government to quit getting involved in their civil wars and instigating violence. Those people come here because someone got involved in their civil wars and their own internal affairs and drove them out of here. So
why do you keep... Why do liberals always keep pointing out wrongs to justify another wrong? So what if these guys break the law? So what if these rich guys break the law to get in? You know, our immigration policy is wrong here. Why should we keep making the immigration policy even more wrong or justify a wrong, which is millions of people coming in?
They don't get turned in. They can get medical care.
Let's show commercials with boatloads of Nazis coming and dictators and thugs.
I know we're looking at life as it really is.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy.
Sure.
Do you think that, how do you feel about these people being here in your country? This is your country, right?
What, all the thugs and ex-dictators and so on, millionaires, or which ones?
United States, is this your country?
Sure it is.
So how do you feel about illegal aliens coming in, whether they're Hispanics or blacks or whites or whatever? How do you feel about that issue?
I think that first of all, you know, you keep focusing on the question of legality, but I'm looking on focusing on the question of people and humanity. No one wants to leave their country. Ethiopians didn't want to leave, you know, Haitians didn't want to leave, the Vietnamese didn't want to leave, the Persians didn't want to leave from Iran, from Nicaragua, El Salvador, that was their country. There's a lot of violence there. Our government got involved there. Our government funded that violence, right? Secondly, now I can understand why they come here. Now it's ignorant to start attacking these people when your own government instigated that problem in the first place. Now, thirdly, if they are here and if there are some problems, we're going to have to work together to try to resolve this rather than being like the chickens attacking each other, little pieces of corn at a certain point. And a proposition like 187 does not resolve the problem. There are no sanctions for employers who exploit low-wage workers. There's nothing to strengthen the border. There's nothing in there that deters immigration. All it does is punish kids.
The only thing that 187 did was get Pete Wilson elected.
Let's take a break.
20 points down.
We're going to go to break with Pete speaking. We'll be back in a moment.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-B-O-N-D.
Okay, we are back. We are back, and we're talking about Proposition 187. Dennis, Jimmy, I have to ask before we take the question here, I still want to know, how do you personally feel knowing that these people are breaking the law? How do you feel about that? Not what the other people think.
I don't like anyone breaking the law. But again, you know, politicians break the laws. Corporate America breaks the laws.
Wait a minute.
But the point I'm making is, why focus on these children in the schools and call them criminals like a lot of these racists in the West San Fernando Valley are doing when you've got criminals breaking the law all over this country? White collar crime does not go to jail. You go steal some chewing gum from over here and you get shot in the head out of a liquor store. So why focus on them? Now, if you say they're breaking the law, then let's find a solution. But 187, by punishing children, does not solve that problem. If you want to go after them, go after their parents. But don't start denying infants immunizations or mothers prenatal care or throwing those children out into the street, because they're not going to go anywhere. They're going to end up, you know, breaking into somebody's house eventually.
Then put them in jail.
Pardon?
If they break in the house, put them in jail.
You don't have any room anymore.
You can deport them.
That's the biggest growth in the state of California.
You can deport them.
Yes, there's a national will to deport.
Look, I hear you Spanish people, you're constantly saying that how racist and how bad America is. Why don't you all? I don't think you talking about them kids. I don't think you deserve nothing because you are a coward. It's one of the things that if you was anything, instead of trying to straighten America out, you would straighten out Mexico. Why is it that you got to leave Mexico? Why don't you stay there? And if you don't like you trying to straighten this country, go and straighten out Mexico.
Well,
that's your country. I'm an American. I'm an American, and I'm going to be here. I don't care anybody that, but let them try to take America and see. I'm not going to run to Mexico. I'm not going to run to Mexico and hide and say, well, look here, Mr. Ramos, would you come over here and tell him to leave? Because I'm going to kill him. That's what I'm going to do. You can't come over here and run nothing but your shoes off. 87 may be wrong, but you know what? You're going to go, and you're talking about there's not no room, they're babies, and everybody going to go because you're breaking the law. If you want to come here, we got laws here. You disrespect the law. If I disrespect the law, I go to jail. You all come here, you march, you talk, you're cowards. Why don't you go down there? You just had an election in your country. Why don't you go down there and take it back and straighten it out, and all of you all grow? Why is that?
Okay. Let's get a response. Dennis, hold on.
Wait.
Let him answer.
First of all, you keep saying, why do you come here? You know, I was born in this city. Mm-hmm. You know, my family's from this city. My family was in Texas before I even belonged to the United States. So when you start telling me to go back to somewhere, you're completely off, right? That's an ignorant statement to make. Okay, it's like me telling you to go back to Alabama, or I don't know where you're from, and I'm not going to say that because that's ignorant to say so. Wait a minute, hold on.
And
before you start calling people cowards, right, you keep running your mouth, you don't even know what the problem is, okay? Because people have a right to demonstrate, they have the right to say what they want to do, and if those high school kids keep getting bashed and bashed and bashed, and they go out and demonstrate, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights says they have the right to do that. Now, if you keep talking about women, if you keep talking about legality and breaking the law, then we would have had Martin Luther King would have never broken any law by sitting in, right? We'd still have segregation.
King was wrong.
He was not wrong.
What are you talking about?
Yes,
he was wrong.
Those were immoral laws.
Wait a minute. Let me explain something to you. Did you know what?
Okay. I wouldn't. Hold on. The difference in Dr. King is that he was here legally, and
those
he was fired for this.
Those laws were legal that they broke.
No, but see, the point is,
segregation laws were legal at that time. They were immoral laws. He broke them, and he had a right to break them.
The point that he's trying to make, the point I think that he's trying to make is that you are a U.S. citizen, and you should or supposed to be in favor of this country, and to defend...
I wouldn't be on the show if I wasn't.
I know, but to defend illegal aliens is like going against the country.
What we have all said here is that 187 does not even begin to deal with
what I'm doing is immigration. I'm an educator. I'm defending children. I don't care what children they are. Now, when someone goes around and attacking children, they're about the most low-down coward you can think of. The same way Newt Gingrich, the way they're talking about taking children away from welfare mothers, right?
The same way American law and come across the border to have a baby is a rat. As far as I'm concerned,
why not?
Maybe they're coming over here having no babies, and you can't pay for them. If you want, you can't pay for them. Pay for them in your own country. And why? You know something? Broke folks ain't supposed to have sex. No way. Two broke folks having sex.
You're sitting in my own home country, right?
Why is you hungry and without a job, and you thinking about having sex?
Sir, go back and study some history. You're sitting in my home country, man.
Go get some sleep, man.
Go study some history or something.
Greg, want to respond?
Well, you know what? We've really gotten far off the mark.
Yes.
But, I mean, you know, I think everybody has a position. There's some historical fact about some exploitation that has taken place in some other countries where a lot of capitalists have gone over to other countries that weren't quite developed as the United States, let's say, and they have exploited a group of people there. And it's difficult now. We can say, well, that happened way back when, but it still has a lasting effect. And a lot of those people in these countries have been exploited for years and years and years, and they're not able to have the dream like you have in America where you can work and study and go, because that has been taken away from them. And so it's unfair to totally examine this situation without viewing it in a historical context as well. So, I mean, yeah, there's some points to say,
I think that if they were going to come over here for the opportunities, they should be willing to abide by the laws. I mean, you don't want to come here and say and break our laws and not care, you know, the standard that we built this country on. You don't want to come and break those laws.
But listen, you know, Jesse, it's the same thing. Someone touched upon this thing. It's the same thing, the lunch counter issue. Okay, the law was that blacks go to the back door. Blacks can't eat in the restaurant.
I lived through that era, Greg.
I know, but let me just finish the point. Blacks going through the front door, and I know what your position is, that to build your own restaurant and to go on. But we have to examine some things in a historical context when it comes to some type of civil unrest. I'm not saying that everything is right, that to rebel against every law, but when you examine in its totality, there has been exploitation that's taken place in other countries. And that damage that was done initially didn't allow for these countries to develop to their fullest. I'm not saying that you should come.
I don't even see the comparison in that.
But you have to.
Let me tell you why. Okay, first of all, we have men and women in this country who was fighting for laws that affected them as U.S. citizens, as legally being here.
Okay.
This situation we're talking about today are people who are here illegal.
We haven't stuck to that topic.
Do you understand the difference now?
I understand the premise, though. That was our original topic. But we've gotten involved in so many
different things. Do you understand the difference? We're talking about illegal.
Do you understand illegal. 187? Let's talk about that.
Jimmy, tell us about 187.
Yeah, it's way off.
Jimmy, what is 187?
One, it's sort of about three pages, very short. It's very badly written by someone who was trying to win an election and not to try to resolve an immigration problem. Okay, one, it states that beginning January 1995, if implemented, there's an injunction that based on reasonable suspicion, and we know who that is, right, that all incoming students for education will be asked for documentation. If they can't prove it, after X amount of days, 45 days, they'll be expelled from the public schools. They tried to do this in Texas in the early 80s. The Supreme Court found it unconstitutional. Okay. Secondly, it says 1996 January, again, all incoming students, parents, everybody will be asked for documentation. So you're talking about teachers, educators, everybody else going around on reasonable suspicion based on whatever they speak like, asking for papers, right? They're not part of the immigration department. They don't work for the federal government. That is not their job duty to do that. Secondly, it's talking about no medical or health services for anybody without papers. You're talking about immunizations for little children, pregnant woman for a $50 prenatal examination. Now, if she has a child that's disabled, you're going to pay a whole lot more money down the line. If that child is not immunized, a little $10 immunization, you're going to have chicken pox and measles spread around the place. Okay, but it says you can have emergency services if you don't have papers. Now, what, you're going to wait till they get sick
until they're almost severe, and then you're going to take them to an emergency ward where it's going to cost more money down the line. Lastly, it talks about counterfeit documents, and it's so badly written that they say you could get 5 years in prison, right, for counterfeit documents, which I agree with, right? You shouldn't be counterfeiting, or a fine. That fine leaves a loophole for judges to just put them in the county jail for a couple of days, 30 or 60 days. And this thing is so badly written, if they had just read what the U.S. Constitution says in regard to this, or the California State Constitution, they know it was going to be thrown out of court and held up an injunction. Now, if you really want to go after the magnet, which are jobs, then let's go after sanctions against these employers who pay $2 an hour or $1 a day and don't have any labor standards. But it does not, because that's where they're getting their money from, their campaign funds. They don't want any employer sanctions.
Jim, are you aware that a lot of Hispanics voted in favor of 187? As a matter of fact, I talked to some today because I knew I was doing the show. They voted in favor of.
Sure.
Can we take you on the next hour, the next show? Okay, thank you. We're winding up. I appreciate it. Are you aware of that?
Sure, there's some, but the point is, it was 70 to 30. I got the statistics.
So how do you feel about that?
Amongst Asians, right, it barely won. And in fact, amongst the black voters, it won much handily than the Asian population, right? So, I mean, you're saying, how come Asians are voting for it?
That's but how do you feel about Hispanics voting for it?
There are a lot of people who are third, fourth, fifth generation here, right, who have the same frustrations and anger that the rest of the population does in this city, right, who live out in the suburbs, and they feel the same way, right? They're being told that these people are causing their problems, crime, and taking their jobs. They went for it, right?
You know what? I want to know, Jimmy, did you hear his statement about Dennis' statement about why he voted for the bill? Did you hear that in the green room?
I heard somebody.
I'll deal with it next week.
Yeah, when we come back Monday, we're going to talk about that. We're out of time. Her hand is jumping off. Her arm is jumping off the thing. We have to wind up. When we come back Monday, I want to deal with that. All right? And also, we want to talk about, I want to know from you guys, what do you want to do about this situation? How do you think that we should resolve this issue of illegal aliens, whether they're black, white, Mexicans, or whatever? All right? Bye. Hi. We are talking about Proposition 187. My guest today is Martin Francis. He is a white, male, straight citizen who is displeased. Heterosexual, straight male. And that's against the law now to be white and straight and male in this country. Did you know that?
Yes, I've gotten that impression yet.
Yeah, it's against the law. And we're talking
Does that
with.
Mean be deported?
We're talking.
Don't break the law.
We're talking to Dennis
Schatzman
from the LA Sentinel, who is. Are you in favor of 87 now or still against?
187 is unconstitutional.
But you voted for it.
I did.
And you voted out of anger against the Hispanic community?
No, against Hispanic leaders who always ask for blacks to support their issues in a coalitive kind of posture, but when we've called on them to help us, most of them have declined to do so.
Jimmy is from LULAC. Yeah. Can you respond to that, Jimmy?
Well, he's just calling the wrong person. So, I mean, that's the problem right now. He referred to Hermosillo earlier. Yeah. I mean, nobody says he's a leader. Who said he's a leader? Where did he come from? I
never saw him. Terso del Junco.
Wait a minute. Terso del Junco is a right-wing Cuban leader who has never done anything for the rest of the Latino community and could care less. He's a right-wing Republican. He's never cared about the Latino community. All of a sudden now he's talking about the post office. He's trying to divide people. He's doing it for opportunist reasons. And anybody would call
Gloria
him.
Molina.
Anybody calls him, you got to be out of your mind. So I'm just
Gloria Molina.
You know,
Martin, what should we do about? I mean, did you vote for 187 or against?
I voted for 187.
And why?
It just makes common sense.
What do you mean?
Well, they say, well, it doesn't do anything to protect the borders. Well, each and every separate law you make doesn't cure every problem that you know, doesn't cure everything about a particular problem you're trying to solve. 187 does cure a lot of things where it takes away, you know, public services. That's taxpayer money going to illegals. If we're going to pay for illegals, we might as well pay for, you know, all of South America, you know, all of Africa. Where does it stop? We have to get control of our border. We've already had employer sanctions, and now this is the second part, and the third part will be to control the border.
Unfortunately, my good friend is confused. As I said on an earlier show, when you get rid of 200,000 children...
Where you get that number from?
From the Los... I'm a journalist, and you're not. From
but
the Los
you're
Angeles
liberal
Unified
journal.
School
they
District...
They don't normally tell the truth, right?
What happens is that you will close down dozens of schools. Where will they close those schools down? Not where Martin lives, okay, but where I live, in the inner city.
Good.
Those kids will then be bused out there to where you live and where you hang out, Jesse, and then we don't have schools here.
But I still don't think that's a reason to allow
people... What's the reason
people,
here? Because we have to live here.
But, Dennis,
I
don't believe that that's a reason to allow people to come into this country
and
break the law.
What I'm saying is you cannot simplify the issue. It's very complicated.
But it's very simple to me.
There's economics involved. There's politics involved. And... as I said before in an earlier show, 187 does not deal with your major concern, which is stopping people from illegally crossing the border at the border.
It
doesn't do that.
Money.
Jimmy, I want to ask you.
Because of money here.
What is the solution to this?
It closes down our schools. It's good. Yeah.
No. It will only close down a few of the schools, and the other schools will stay open. And the people
in my community.
We're
going to
lose $400 million with the LAUSD.
Okay. In my community.
Okay, Jesse, you had a question about.
Dennis, Jimmy, I'm sorry. What is the solution to this problem? How should we deal with this illegal alien problem?
You touched the employer sanctions. There's a federal law on employer sanctions, right? Now, Harold Ezell and Ellen Nelson, these were the heads of the Immigration Department during the late 80s. Never was there one employer convicted. Not one employer was ever convicted of violating those employer sanction laws, and they have violated them thousands of times, paying below minimum wages, no health and safety standards, etc. Now, the magnet why people come to this country, or even immigrants from other states why they come to L.A., is for jobs. You know, ask anybody who came to this city. They come here for jobs. Now, you can say they're legally illegal. Now, if you want to dry up the magnet of low-paying jobs, then enforce employer sanctions. But it's not being done because these same employers donate campaign funds to these same politicians who refuse to enforce the law. Now, instead of doing that, of enforcing employer sanctions, which would dry up the jobs, you go, let's turn around and attack these children, expel them out of the public schools, have thousands of them out in the streets. They're not going to go away. They're going to be increased gang violence. You're going to get gang participation. You know, they're not going to go away. It's going to cost more and more money down the line. That's why the sheriff block, that's why the peace officers associations, the district attorney, and everybody else was opposed to it and said, this is ridiculous. It's going to cause us more problems. We have enough problems already with crime, and then you're going to throw out thousands of more kids out there to be on the streets and not getting educated.
Martin, want to respond to that?
And I say enforce employer sanctions. All right? If that's not happening, that should
be
happening.
Put an initiative on the ballot.
Enforce employer sanctions.
It's not going to happen.
They're not going to do
it. It should happen.
Money
I mean, this is all defeatist. This is all defeatist attitude.
Oh,
since this isn't going to happen, we shouldn't do this.
Because you're not
since this isn't
going to
happen, we
let
should
be fine,
enforce employer sanctions, enforce the border, and deport the people who are now here illegally out of the country. It's so common sense. It's simple. You control your border by doing those three
things. We are in the United States of America, okay, where a Heidi Fleiss will go to jail and the Johns will go and find somebody else to pay the money to. Okay, here the employers get away scot-free. They pay people under the table because money talks. And that's the way it is. So that's pie in the sky. Talking about we should be enforcing it. You go after the people who cannot help themselves. The
is that
kids.
A reason to break the law because someone else is breaking it?
Obviously, because they're doing it.
No, but to you. Okay.
Your opinion, Dennis, didn't ask for his supporters to be arrested.
But your opinion, do you think
Michael
Dennis,
Huffington ain't going to jail? He hired an undocumented alien. That's your boy, right?
Yes,
Michael Huffington. Yeah.
As I said in another show, I voted against 187, but the reality is that something has to be done about the illegal situation. I mean, American taxpayers can't continue to pay for health care for women from other countries who are illegal to deliver babies, for children to come from other countries and go to school. I mean, the fact is we can't continue to do that, you know, into the next decade. But I think that Americans, Californians felt really victorious, you know, when 187 passed. I mean, it was like, wow, we got them. You know, we passed 187. But the fact that it passed, it doesn't do anything about the situation. Right. First of all, it's unconstitutional, so it's going to be held up in court for years. And you've got all these logistical problems. So, but the fact that 187 passed means nothing. Right. So back to what we've been saying. I mean, I feel that I don't like, as a taxpayer, paying for other people coming across the border, delivering babies or going to school or whatever. I don't like that either. But logistically, passing means nothing. Now, if
some what should we do? What should we do about it?
People have already said, and I will reiterate that, what they've said, you have to deal with employee sanctions. You have to deal with sealing up the border from all over the continent of the United States. You have to deal with that. But I still think that in the long-range plan into the year 2000 and all of that, I think that you have to deal with working with another economy, with the country of Mexico, to develop their economy. Because as long as into the next...
We don't have to work with them. Wait. Hold on. Let me say this.
Yes, no,
let me say this. Hold on. I have only responsibility, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the United States, our responsibility to take care of our people. We don't have to take care of Mexico people.
Amen.
They can take care of their own folks. If we do it by chance, that's nice.
The reality is that no matter how much you secure the border, all across Canada, Mexico, everywhere, you can seal the border as much as possible. As long as opportunities are greater here, people will come from all over the world. It just so happens that Mexico is geographically right next to us. So therefore, more of them will come. And if we don't help other countries develop their economies so that they don't aspire to come here because our economy is so much better and the opportunities are so much better, we'll be discussing this 50 years from now.
Let's Jesse, let us Martin. Look at this.
He wanted to respond to it. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Yes, Martin.
We can use that same logic to, as far as crime goes. If you have a big house, there's more. That means you are giving the criminal a reason to come in and steal your thing. So what you should do then is give half of your wealth, if not more of it, because give half of your wealth to the criminal to keep him from breaking in. You've got to develop him to keep him from breaking in. No. Let him get up off his butt and develop his own economy. I mean, there's books, there's schools. Information, you know, especially nowadays, is not sealed up and delivered. I mean, is not sealed up and kept from anybody. Any country can develop itself. All they got to do is have the gumption to do it. In this country, the great percentage of people who are wealthy now are... I mean, and it's always been that way. The great percentage of people wealthy are not Rockefellers. They're the people who have earned their wealth from themselves, you know, who've built it up from... They've been poor. Ross Perot did not inherit his wealth. A lot of people did not inherit their wealth. You know, Bill Cosby didn't inherit his wealth. A lot of people did not inherit their wealth. Most of the people who are rich did not inherit their wealth. These people who keep saying we have to build up these other countries so they won't come and rob from us, that's wrong.
Yes,
we don't have to do anything for them.
Well, first of all, see, you know, again, you know, people are talking out of both sides of their mouths.
Who is?
Virtually everybody. you have people who say they're against illegal aliens coming here, but they'll pay them. They'll hire them, like Michael Huffington and Dianne Feinstein. Right. What this is, 187, I'm going to say it again, as I said last week, look at it for what it is. It was a political placebo to elect Pete Wilson. Simple as that. It does nothing at all to stop illegal, quote-unquote, immigration.
If that's the case, how do you explain so many people voting for it?
They'll vote for anything.
They'll vote for anything?
They blame Michael Dukakis for letting Willie Horton out of jail. How stupid
he was
is that?
Responsible
Pete
for
Wilson
that.
Let the guy out to kill Pauly Klaus?
He was a murderer, and Dukakis let him out.
One, let's touch on that question about a free ride, because, one, I think he's right. You know, the voters were taken for a ride on 187. He's right. The voters were taken for a ride on 187. It is a placebo, and it was just a ploy. People were conned. If you beam it over and over on TV, they went for it, and they bit the hook and went down on it. Okay, secondly, hold on. Secondly, this thing about a free ride, okay, I've got a document out. It's a state Senate research office, right? The state of California, the legislature, that shows how much are paid in taxes by so-called illegals, how much services they use. I got another document by U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Urban Institute. They pay sales taxes, city taxes, state taxes, federal taxes, which they cannot get those services back for Social Security. In fact, they're going to be supporting elderly people in this country paying into the Social Security system. A lot of those state services they cannot get back because they don't have documentation. A lot of that money is lost. They cannot get that back at a certain point. So if we're talking about a free ride, why are there no employee sanctions? Let's look at the economy, one, historical here in this state. That immigrant labor has been using the railroads and the mines for construction in those fields, right? At low wages, you know, barely subhuman living conditions. If you have these people, right, and you say, let's get rid of them, the tourist industry, it's not unionized, it's low wage, right? It's undocumented maids, cooks, and so on, busboys, and so on. That garment industry down in L.A. Street is our women who are paid subhuman wages, right? Again, there's no employer sanctions there because they make super profits on that. In the fields, it's the same thing in construction. So this is making money for somebody by hiring these folks. They don't pay any Social Security to them, etc. And they're protected by these crooked politicians that he likes so much. And this little myth about everybody's going to be a millionaire, if you believe that, you believe in the tooth fairy still, too. Because, I mean, this thing is certain people are going to make it. The majority of working people.
Preach.
Living standards are going down because these plants are leaving the country. They could care less about the United States. They tell you buy United States products, they're made overseas, yeah. Right? Nothing is made in this country. As far as Mexico, as far as helping them, now wait a minute. This country has helped Britain get on their feet. This country has helped France get on their feet, helped Germany, Japan, and these are people that killed U.S. soldiers. My uncles fought World War II. One of them died at them, and they go back and rebuild them up. You're building up the ex-Soviet Union now with billions of dollars again. The 500 largest corporations in Mexico are 80% dominated by U.S. corporations. They just bring all that money out. Nothing stays there to industrialize the country. None of the capital stays there. How are you going to create jobs? Right?
We need to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Can I have a sandwich?
Bond. Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. Rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man. For more information, call our Los Angeles office at area code 213-759-3844. Oregon office, area code 503-955-1651. Or write, post office box 86253, Los Angeles, California 90086. Bond. Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny, rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man.
Okay, we are back. We're talking about Proposition 187. My name is Jesse Peterson. And, I wanted to ask someone a question. I forgot my thought.
It can happen, Jesse.
But what do you think? Did you vote for 187, Proposition 187?
Yes, I voted up for it.
And why?
Because it's a make sense law. They're here illegally. They've been crossing our border for the last 15, 20 years. They come to this country. They don't try to assimilate into the with the other Americans. They disrespect the flag. They disrespect the country. All they want to do is take their money they make here and send it back to Mexico. And I think overall, Americans are just fed up with it, and they want to send them back, and it's time to go.
Can I ask him a question?
Yeah. And this is not just white people. This is black, Hispanics.
I'm just trying to figure out where you got your.
There's many races who think this way.
Intellectual preparedness.
It's not a white brown thing. There's plenty of Mexicans who voted against the illegals. They don't like them in this country. I work with plenty of them at work.
I mean, where do you get this information? I mean, they've been crossing the last 15, 20 years. I believe it was like 1300, 1400. They've been here before. They were here before you were.
I'm talking about illegal. If you're legal, there's no problem with legal immigration.
I'm
not against illegal immigration.
Your forefathers were illegal in the state at a certain point, right?
Georgia was founded.
Your forefathers were illegal in the state.
By illegal aliens.
Dennis, one at a time. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Sorry.
I think, you know, we keep throwing that around. I think your forefathers were illegal in the state in the Southwest at a certain point. If you look at back at Mexican laws, right, in the 1840s, they talk about the illegals, right, coming into Texas and into California. They talk about the Davy Crockett's and Sam Houston coming to Texas, breaking Mexican law where slavery was illegal, bringing slaves into the state of Texas.
Preach.
Okay? Now, we're talking about the so-called, the good guys taking over Texas. They reinstituted slavery when they made Texas part of the United States. You know, it was not a progressive thing. It was a backward thing. They joined part of the Confederacy. But if you're saying, okay, let's deport these folks, why don't I hear you saying let's deport Jews? Let's deport Canadians. Well, I don't see you saying let's deport Irish. Wait a minute. You keep talking about Mexicans. Wait a minute.
Deport them. Whatever race they're from. But, I mean, you see Mexicans the most.
I'm repeating your words. You keep focusing on Mexico.
Well, okay. Whatever country they come from.
Let's focus on some of your homies from Ireland and from Canada and so on, right? And some of the Jews that come right in.
That's fine. I agree with what you're saying. I don't disagree with what you're saying.
You're repeating the same propaganda in those commercials that Pete Wilson 187 put on. It's somehow Mexico and Mexico and Mexico. Now start talking about, and I'm not espousing we should attack anyone, you know, Jews or Canadians or Irish. They're all over the place. You know there's going to be no Irish or Canadian kids expelled from the public schools or Jewish kids expelled from the public schools.
95% of the problem.
It's going to be Latino kids are going to be expelled. Go to San Francisco and see how many so-called illegal Irish are there. Their kids will not be expelled from the public schools.
Right.
Go to Detroit and all over
will you
the state,
kids will
not be expelled.
Jimmy, would you be happier with the law if you were sure that it would enforce it on anyone that is here illegally?
Would you be happier? Because I don't want any children expelled into the streets. Children did not create this problem. They should not be punishment.
That's right.
And that's why we have the 14th Amendment that says that's cruel and unusual punishment.
But don't the children have to suffer the crime of the parents? If the parent,
no, they don't.
It's the parent that created the problem.
Jesse, if we
let me ask you this, though. Let me finish. Okay. I mean, it's not only children. Thank you very much. It's not only children who will be going back. It's going to be the parents as well, right?
Jesse, they're not going anywhere.
I need an answer yes or
no. No. If we follow that distorted logic, then when we have wars, let's go kill all the children instead of the soldiers, right? Instead of the parents. Now, Newt Gingrich and these Republicans, these right-wingers, also proposing welfare mothers have their children taken away, right, and placed in orphanages. Now, are those children to be punished because their mothers are in welfare? Now, if you want to,
I have to ask the question again.
Okay.
Will the parents be going back, too, along with the children?
No.
Or will they leave the parents here and take the children?
Jesse, nobody's going to go back with this law. It does not solve anything.
But I'm saying, if the law
does not solve anything.
I know, but for my own personal knowing, I want to know. I don't understand. Will the parents go back, too, if this law were to become in effect? Will the parents go back to Mexico as well?
No, because
just the kids.
Jesse, no one's going to go back because it does not dry up the jobs or the magnet, right?
Constitutional.
People do not come to get a prenatal examination or to go to a school,
Or to go to the general hospital.
They come here for jobs. Until those jobs are dried up, or you create jobs at the source, like she said, where they come from, that solves the problem. But they're not going to leave just because they can't get a prenatal examination or get an immunization.
Okay, I have another question now. My first question, though, and I need a yes or no.
Sure.
If this law was in effect, will the parents go back along with the children or just the children?
One, the majority are not going to go back because it's not going to solve the problem. Secondly,
that's not what I asked.
Wait a minute, hold on. Secondly, it's going to divide up families because some would be deportable, whereas the children who are citizens are not deportable. They're going to stay here. So you're going to end up splitting up families even further, right? That's a certain point.
Are we, the United States of America, responsible for cleaning up Mexico and other countries?
Clean up in which way?
You said that the United States should make it possible by creating jobs and doing things in Mexico.
They just approved the NAFTA agreement, which allows all tons of U.S. corporations going to Mexico. They're already there in mass as it is, right? They bring out $15 billion a year out of Mexico in profits, right, which leave nothing there for industrialization or creation of jobs. So now, you have 40,000 Americans living in Guadalajara, right, receiving the Social Security. You have Americans buying up all the best beachfront property all along Baja California, right, which is against Mexican law, right? They pay bribes to someone. So unless you get to the source of the problem, we're neighbors, right? We've done that with Canada. Unless we help someone with their investments through a just and equal investments to create jobs where people want to stay there and leave, because people don't want to leave their countries, create jobs there, that will stop the flow. And if you get these crooked employers who are paying these subhuman wages with no benefits, no Social Security, to quit giving those type of jobs and make them pay a decent union wage, then you'll dry up the source. That's the source of the problem.
Proposition 187 would affect people, employers who hire illegal aliens. They have to pay a consequence as well.
No, it doesn't. And it says nothing about employer sanctions, and they did that purposely because Harold Ezell and Alan Nelson were in charge of enforcing employer sanctions under the Reagan administration in the late 80s. Not one person was ever convicted. Not one employer was ever convicted because they're pro-employer.
And those
they're
guys
guarding
got paid
the profits.
For doing their job.
Jesse, the industry and economy of Southern California is based on exploited, undocumented labor that pays no Social Security and so on. They are not going to irritate their little patrons who give them their campaign funds and, in fact, who keep the Republican Party in power.
So. I want to ask this question of all of you. Why can't we in this country come together on a common cause and not cause it to be a racial issue? Especially if we're all citizens. Let's say all of us.
It's an economic issue.
Let me just say all of us are citizens here, right? And this illegal alien thing affects all of us. And why can't we come together as citizens of this country and deal with that without making it a racial issue?
Pete,
I want to go down the road. Hold on,
Dan. Can I answer first?
No, let me go to Jimmy first, and then I'll come.
Okay. Jimmy. Now, if there's to be a discussion, say there's an immigration problem, let's bring our heads together. Let's try and resolve this. There's a lot of polarization and hatred in this city after the Rodney King violence and so on. You could do it if you pose a question that way. But it's not. Instead, you have commercials that constantly bombard a particular ethnic group. There are brown faces showing in those commercials. No one else. They're not Asian, not Canadian, not Irish. And you keep hammering away. And we call it the Brown Willie Horton tactic that they used, right? Hammering away to a certain group. I don't see it being posed as, wait a minute, here's Canadians, also here's Irish, and so on. And there's no solution being posed. All it's saying is hate these people. It's promoting hatred. And, you know, this is not something just in the U.S. If you go to Germany, again, they got economic problems. They're attacking Turkish immigrants. And they promote the hatred against them so far. It's gotten to firebombings and attacks. If you go to France, they're attacking Africans in France, African immigrants. If you go to England, they're attacking Jamaicans and Pakistanis. If you go to Japan, they're attacking Korean and Chinese immigrants. This is a trend throughout these countries where they start losing jobs or there's an economic crisis. You got to scapegoat somebody. Here, it's focusing on one ethnic group, so it does become racial. If that one ethnic group was not focused on, then you could say, okay, it's not racial. It's just an immigration problem, right?
Dennis, why can't we come together as U.S. citizens?
Because
and fight for a common cause.
Well, because when people are confused and scared, as many and maybe even most Anglos are in the state of California, then race works, okay? And they use all these polarizing things to get people to come out. As I said before, and you can't convince me or anyone else otherwise, 187 had nothing to do with stopping illegal immigration. It had everything to do with getting white males out to vote for Pete Wilson.
Now,
it's as simple as that. Now, if you want to stop illegal immigration, you do it at the borders. Don't come in here with some popcorn legislation which is against the Constitution. Because we're not falling for that.
Why can't we come together?
That's not what it is.
Why can't we come together as U.S. citizens?
Why can't we come together?
Common cause here?
We can.
We can.
We can. And as a matter of fact, we have. Conservatives come together of all races as U.S. citizens to fight against liberals who are trying to destroy the country and change it into foreign type of principles and things that doesn't work. Socialism, basically. That doesn't work anywhere in the country. It's been tried. And so they get together. All their races get together. And act as citizens, but against the U.S., against, you know, basically what the country's principles were. And
Which are
freedom for the individual and a constitution that was written to hold the government in check so that it doesn't get too big and too onerous against us. These are the things that we hold up as Americans, and also that we've come to learn in the past 20, 30 years is that no matter what race you are, you can be an American. I love when Ronald Reagan got up and said that kind of thing. You know, in France, you have to be French-born to be a Frenchman and stuff. But we do come together as American citizens. It's just that we're divided along ideology. It's conservative and liberal. I mean, there's black gentlemen here who are conservative. I consider them more my brothers than Feinstein, these other whites.
Man, I'm not black. I'm a Louisiana American.
Well, right, exactly. Exactly. And I consider these men to be more my brothers than who's these liberals like Foley and people like that. I consider them to be foreigners, to be Russians, to be communists. I consider them to be my enemies, my domestic enemies.
Let's do this. We have about a minute and a half left in the program. Solution. How can we resolve this issue, Martin?
The three-prong attack on the issue is that they're trying to say you do not come inside our border and try to harass us. Yes. In a war, you take on
short,
all...
Martin. We have
okay, I'll take it. You hit the home front with 187. You take care of the border with troops and or whatever's necessary, and the employer sanctions, and you enforce all the laws.
Dennis.
The solution is to quit lying to people with these false placebos like 187, which do absolutely nothing.
Jimmy.
Economically, what we need are union-paid, decent-paying jobs in this city, in this state, in this country that'll dry up the magnet, right? And give jobs which are not being given to by the politicians and system to everybody that needs a job. Secondly, there are 33 countries meeting with President Clinton right now from Latin America. Unless you have a multi-level relationship to resolve the problem, and they're discussing immigration, they're also discussing Prop 187.
What's your phone number to LULAC? Is there a number?
213-258-7421.
Again?
213-258-7421.
I appreciate you guys coming on. I'll see you next week.
Somewhere in the world today, men have got to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what they've wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find.